For this evening's reading and meditation, I'd like to turn with God's help and read from the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, beginning with verse 35 until the end of the chapter. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35 to the end. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and let us bow before him in prayer. We know that John the Baptist was described as the forerunner of Christ. He was the one that was to reveal Christ as he entered into this world when his ministry began. John the Baptist had a very important role, and he did not mess up in his role. The Bible teaches us that John was born full of the Holy Spirit. God was with him from the moment he was born because of the importance of his task that was before him. He was to reveal Christ, to point those who were seeking truth, who were seeking the Messiah, to point them to Christ. Earlier in this chapter, the portion that we did not read, John is describing Christ, he's describing who he is, and he's describing how much greater Christ is than himself. John says that there was one that is coming after me who is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He explains how much greater Christ is in him because Christ was before him. The Son of God has no beginning and no end. And that's why John says he is preferred before me. He existed before, long before I ever existed. Revealing unto the people who are listening to him the importance of this message, the importance of this Messiah, this Savior of the world that was coming. And we know that John had many disciples that were with him, that were following him. And as Jesus began his ministry, those disciples then began, instead of following John, they began to follow Jesus instead. That was God's plan from the beginning. And John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he's telling the people, This is the man, this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. This is him. I've been telling you there's someone coming who's greater than me. This is him. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He saw him, and he knew who he was that was revealed to him. And it says the very next day after he said that, the very next day he saw Jesus again, and he said again the same thing, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And yet this time there were two disciples that were with John that heard him speak these words. They heard him speak, "Behold the Lamb of God." Two of John's disciples were with him, and unlike the day before, it says these two disciples that were with John, they turned immediately. They left John and they immediately followed after Jesus. No description is given here that John said to follow him. There's nothing written here that Jesus told them to follow him. I don't want to jump to a conclusion, but it almost seems like it was an act of God. God was leading them to follow Jesus. He was leading them to follow John the Baptist and go instead after Jesus. So the two disciples, after they heard John explain, "This is the Lamb of God," they turn, they follow Jesus. And Jesus asks these disciples that were following him, and says, what seek ye? And they said, the two that followed him, they wanted to see where he dwelt, where he was living, where he abode, where he made his abode. They wanted to see where he was, where he was living. And Jesus said unto them, "Come and see. Come and see. Follow me, and I will show you." And they went. There was an obedience about them. There was a focus about them. They were wholeheartedly given to follow Christ. No turning back. And I appreciate how that's recorded here. Again, I believe these details are not written here for a reason, to show us that this was purpose. This was done with a purpose, with an intention of God, that they would follow Christ. And after that, it says that one of these disciples that was with John that started to follow Jesus was Andrew. He was the brother of Simon. And right away, after he starts to follow Jesus, Andrew finds his brother Simon and says, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. We have found him." He explained, he knew within his heart who this was. He knew this was the Savior of the world. He heard John explain it, and of course he believed John. He was with John. He believed the explanation that John gave, and he wholeheartedly believed. And he right away, with joy, went and told his brother, come, I found him. I found the Messiah. I found the Savior of the world. And again, there's no hesitancy written here on the part of Simon. He just goes with Andrew to follow after Jesus. And then it says that Jesus finds another man named Philip. And he just says unto Philip, "Come," and Jesus just simply says, "Follow me." And again, no hesitancy is recorded. Philip just starts to follow Jesus. We find that amazing of the disciples when they started to follow Jesus. There was no turning back. They just left what they were doing, left the tasks of their day, and followed. No turning back. And again, Philip had the same type of excitement that Andrew had. Andrew right away, of course, went and told his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Well, Philip went and found Nathanael. We can assume that Nathanael was an acquaintance, a friend of his. Philip finds Nathanael and he says, similar like Andrew told Simon, Philip tells Nathanael, "We have found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip here is explaining with excitement, "We have found him. We have found the one who the prophets in the Old Testament were writing about. This is him." And that must have perked the ears of Nathanael. He must have been excited. He must have been excited to hear that the Savior of the world was here. And yet we can imagine he might have been a little bit left down, a little bit discouraged when he heard the rest of Philip's sentence. Philip says, He is the Savior. He is the one of whom Moses and the law did write. And he says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." The end of that sentence must have discouraged Nathanael. You're saying the Savior of the world comes from Nazareth? The Savior of the world is just the son of Joseph? Doesn't seem like anything special. Doesn't seem like anything special to Nathanael. And that's when Nathanael responds, and I believe we all know this answer he gives very well. Nathanael says, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see." Philip used the same answer to Nathanael that Jesus had spoken to the disciples that started to follow him. "Come and see. Come and see. Come and see the Savior that I'm talking about." So Nathanael had these doubts, maybe these discouragements. We can only assume. Nothing here is recorded. But he probably had these discouragements, these doubts, to think the Savior of the world comes from such an unremarkable, unimportant place, just little Nazareth. And I don't know much about Nazareth in that time. I just did a quick search on what the estimates were of the population of Nazareth during the time of Christ. I got several answers of as little as 200. Some people estimate 1,000. It doesn't matter. What the point is that Nazareth was not a very important place. It was not an epicenter, not a mega city at all. But it was very irrelevant. And Nathanael knew Nazareth pretty well. He was from Cana. After Jesus had resurrected, one of the disciples that he appeared unto was Nathanael. In John chapter 21, verse 2, it speaks that after Jesus resurrected, he appeared unto his disciples, and one of them was Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. This is the same Nathanael. So he was from Cana. He was from Cana, which was just a very short distance from Nazareth. So he knew Nazareth very well. He knew just how unremarkable Nazareth was. And this did not, this picture of the Savior of the world, this picture of the Messiah, did not really ring true with Nathanael. He was probably expecting that the Messiah who Moses and the prophets wrote about would come from maybe a much more remarkable place than little Nazareth. But we go on, and it says that when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And this seems at first to be a little bit of maybe a random statement. Like, why would Jesus simply say of Nathanael, "Here is an Israelite in whom is no guile"? Where'd that come from? But I believe we get the answer to that question here in the last verse of the chapter. Jesus explains to him, he explains to Nathanael that he will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And this is in connection with the vision that Jacob had. Jacob, we know, was a younger brother of Esau. Esau was, as the older son of Isaac, was supposed to receive a blessing. Was supposed to receive a blessing from Isaac, his father. And yet Jacob deceived him. He deceived his father. Esau, we know, was a hairy man, and Jacob was not. And Jacob deceived his father into blessing him by putting the hair of goats on his hands and on his neck, because Isaac, his father, could not see. He was blind in his old age. He could barely, if see anything at all, perhaps. And Jacob went to his father Isaac and sought a blessing. He lied to him. He tricked him and said, "I am Esau. I am your older son." And when Isaac touched, we know the story. When Isaac touched the hands and the neck of Jacob, He was tricked as well. He thought, okay, this must be Esau. And he gave the blessing that belonged to Esau, the older son, unto Jacob. So Jacob received this blessing from his father that he was not supposed to receive. He was a deceiver, and that is what the name Jacob means. It means deceiver, liar. That's what Jacob means. And that's fitting when we know the personality of Jacob, when we know what kind of person Jacob was. He was a deceiver. And after he received this blessing, after Jacob received this blessing that he was not supposed to receive, Esau wanted to kill him. Esau wanted to kill his brother for stealing his blessing, his inheritance. And Jacob was on the run. He was on the run, running away from his brother Esau. And while he was on the run, he had a dream. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, it says, speaking of Jacob's dream, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven." So he saw this ladder in his dream, and this ladder went up to heaven. And it says, "Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." So that's what Jacob saw in this dream. He saw a ladder, and angels ascending and descending, going up and down on this ladder. And God then reveals unto him that he is with him. He says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac." And he says, he gives him the same promise that he gave to Abraham. He says, "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." So God was revealing unto Jacob that he was with him. And Jacob changed. God changed his name into Israel. It means one that struggles. I believe it means like one that struggles with God. So Jacob was changed. But that brings us back to the story here that we read of Jesus and Nathanael. So at first, again, this seems a little bit random that Jesus would simply tell Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." But it seems that Nathanael must, of course, we know Philip just found Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. It must have been at that moment when Nathanael was under the fig tree, maybe he was Maybe he was reading this story of Jacob. Maybe he was just thinking upon it in his mind. Nothing's recorded for us. Again, it's not really relevant what exactly he was doing, but we can assume he was perhaps thinking about the story of Jacob and his ladder. Maybe he didn't understand it. Maybe he was wondering what this means. Maybe he was wondering what the fulfillment of Jacob's dream was. And Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" He's asking Jesus, "How do you know who I am?" And Jesus says, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." This would have been impossible. This would have been impossible for Jesus to see him and to know right away who he is. And this was enough to prick Nathanael. This was enough to prick his conscience, to reveal unto him who Jesus was. And Nathanael right away confessed, and he says, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." How quickly his mind changed. One minute he's saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, little Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there?" And then just a few verses later we read, right away he confesses, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Yes, this is the one. I believe now. This is the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. This is him. So this touched Nathanael. This made him believe without any doubt that this was the Christ. And Jesus answered him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Just because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you believe who I am?" Jesus says, "You're going to see greater things than these." This confession of Nathanael this immediate confession of Nathanael is consistent with the disciples throughout the Gospels. We read multiple times that the disciples were making confessions. "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the Living. You are the Son of the Living God." They had these confessions of belief, but they weren't always followed up with action. Their actions that followed these confessions were not always consistent with what they said. And Jesus was disheartened at times, we can believe, when he saw the will of these disciples to follow him, but then he knew that they would leave him. Jesus even says, later in the Gospel of John, he says, I believe it's in chapter 16, Jesus even says, when the disciples come to him and they tell him, yes, John chapter 16, Jesus is explaining who he is. He's saying, "I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world, and again, I will leave the world and go to the Father." He's explaining who he is. He's explaining that he has this deity. He's explaining who he is. And the disciples, they confess, and they said that we believe by this that you're saying, by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So Jesus knew what they would do. He knew that these disciples that were following him, he knew that they would ultimately leave him in a time of struggle, in a time of persecution, in a time when they had to admit that, yes, they were with Jesus. They all left. None of them admitted it. Peter is even recorded as having cursed and said, "No, I was never with Jesus. I do not know this man." They all lied. They all left him. And how sad that must have been for Jesus here to say, do you now believe? Do you really believe? Because your belief requires more than just an emotional, your belief requires more than just an emotional response. We can have these emotional responses to Christ and his messages, but they have to be followed up with a true belief, a true faith, a true self-denial, a laying down of self, a denying of self. And we know that that's not really what Nathanael had. That's not the belief he had. He ultimately forsook him. But we see here how willing he was. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak, is what Jesus told his disciples when they were falling asleep. I mean, Jesus was praying in the garden, and they could not stay awake. Jesus said, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what Jesus must have been thinking here when Nathanael said, "Confess, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus is saying, just because of this little revelation you believe, it's going to require more of you than that, and you're going to see greater things than these. Jesus is explaining here to Nathanael, this vision of Jacob's ladder that you're maybe thinking of, maybe reading about, Jesus is saying, "I am the fulfillment of that. I am the connection between heaven and earth. I came, took upon flesh, died, resurrected, that there would be a link between mankind and God. There'd be a link, an access for us to heaven." That's what Jesus is saying. "I am the fulfillment of that. I am that ladder. That ladder that reaches unto heaven." Jesus is saying, "That's me, the Son of Man." That's Jesus. He's saying, "I am that man. I am that ladder." And that has to ring true for us in this day as well. Jesus has to be our all in all. We have to believe that he is the one that was written of in the Old Testament. He is the one that the prophets were speaking about, that the prophets were writing about. That was him. And he has come to give life, and that more abundantly, if we but seek it. And really, Jesus, the reaction of Jesus, the response of Jesus to the disciples that followed him, come and see, that's the same call that Jesus gives to us, to all mankind today. Come and see. Come and see who I am. Come and partake of me. Come and see what I can do for you. He knew Nathanael. He saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, and he knew his thoughts, and he knew his name. And that was enough to prick Nathanael into belief. Jesus is saying, come unto me. I know your struggles. I know the hardships you're going through. I know the doubts, the fears that you have. I know them all. And I can give you rest. I can give you rest from those struggles. I know the very number of hairs in your head. Jesus is saying to all mankind today, come and see. Come and see what I have to offer. That call is ringing forth for all of us, for all mankind, if we would but accept it. That is the call of the gospel. And in Revelation, the last chapter, Revelation 22, verse 17, it's written, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus is saying, all ye who are weary, all you who are tired and are heavy laden, all those of you who have burdens upon you that you don't know what to do with, you don't know where to take them, Jesus says, come unto me. Come. Come and see. Come and see what I can do for you. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you joy that this world cannot give unto you. You'll never find it here. Any peace, any joy, any contentment, any happiness that you find here in this life is so fleeting. It's here one moment and gone the next. But Jesus is saying, I'm giving you an eternal rest, an eternal peace that has no end. Come and see. Come and taste of me. I believe it's in the Psalms where it says, where it's written, I'm paraphrasing, but come and taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of me. Try me. Prove me. See what I can do for you. Because we've tried. We've all tried the things of this world. We've all tried what the offerings of this world have to give. We've all tried them. We've all experimented with them. And what do they leave us with? Nothing but discontentment and shame and feelings of guilt. That's all it gives us. But Jesus is saying, come. Come to me. Accept me as your Lord. Accept me as your Savior. We have to follow him as the disciples did, leaving it all. The disciples, in the middle of their days of work, a few of them just got up from their work and left. They followed him immediately. No hesitation, no turning back. That has to be the same response that we have. That has to be the same urging, the same fervor that we follow Jesus with, where nothing else is important. Everything else we leave behind, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters because nothing else can give us rest, joy, peace. Nothing else can. Jesus is saying, come. This confession of Nathanael, I believe, is consistent with ours at times. We read God's word and we gather here and we say, yes, this is the Son of God. This is the Savior of the world. But then we go back to our lives, our day-to-day lives, the tasks of the day, the temptations, the struggles, the trials come our way, and we lose sight of this. We lose sight of who Jesus was at times. But when we do that, and I believe we all do that, that's human nature, but when we do that, when we lose sight, when we lose our focus, let's turn back to God's word and see who Jesus is and what he's offering unto us. Come and see. May that be the true desire of each and every one of us in this evening, to leave this place and to come and see, to try what Jesus has to offer unto us. And may God bless his word in our hearts in this evening. Amen.
The invitation went forth, come and see. When the two disciples of John heard John say, behold, the Lamb of God, they followed Jesus. Immediately, they followed him. That was their response when they heard Jesus speak and to hear that he was the Lamb of God. And then there was Nathanael. It was instructed unto him, come and see. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And his initial response was one of incredulous. He was unbelieving. Not like the two disciples of John. His response was one of unbelief initially, but the invitation was still given to him likewise, come and see. And when Jesus revealed himself to Nathanael, Nathanael came to faith. Nathanael then believed. So whether it was the circumstance as it was for the two disciples or for Nathanael, how it is in our lives as how we respond to the call of Jesus Christ. But one thing we can come to the conclusion is that Jesus truly is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who came to save the world. And we are to come to that faith, come to that conclusion, to believe that truly Jesus is God and answer that call that as the invitation goes forth, come and see. Come to and believe. And then you will see great things. And truly, Nathanael, had he simply resisted that call, he would not have seen the great and glorious things that Jesus Christ has done during his ministry here upon this earth, and then to see that there was an empty tomb at the very end. And then they came to live a life that was full of faith. As we read last Wednesday night, how shall we believe? And Jesus is asking Nathanael, you're believing now? But you say that you believe, but you're all going to be scattered? But we all come to that, receiving that invitation of come and see with a faith that is strong in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we will see great things. We are being invited to come and behold great things of the Lord. His great love that he has for one and all. To see things that are far greater than a man that was born lame and was in that state for 40 years to be able to walk again. We will see greater things than that. Jesus is inviting us to these great things that the Almighty God can do and is drawing us to that. And then that ultimately we might behold the glory of God in heaven above. Amen.